You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana Show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
Talking about scripture while eating at Waffle House. No, you're not. That was a meme from like 4 years ago. I'm on to you.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
But you do agree with your predecessors that white supremacist extremists remain the most persistent lethal threat in the homeland.
I do believe they do at this time, Mr. Chairman.
And Attorney General Garland, do you agree?
I do, and that's the most recent assessment of the FBI.
So that's the Attorney General Merrick Garland and DHS Secretary Mayorkas. I mean, Kane's dying. We haven't even started the hour. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse, because I wrote about this last night over on Ye Old Newsletter. What, you're already, you cringed enough for everybody out in the radio audience. What's up? You're not happy with...
Yeah, it's, we have all of these issues thanks to Biden's, you know, policies and executive orders, and we're seeing not only a crisis at the border, but we're seeing prices go up, inflation, craziness, yet somehow white supremacy is the country's biggest problem.
Well, I do agree that Democrats can be problematic.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
And I'm not saying that to be mean, I'm just being historically accurate.
Yeah,
I mean, who was against women, me voting and Rachel voting? I mean, who took Indigenous Americans and put them on the trail of genocide? I mean, you know, we could go back. I had ancestors on the Dawes roll. So unlike Elizabeth Warren, her family can take 1,000 seats. I mean, it's if you want to go and I mean, who? Robert Byrd, he was the grand
wizard?
Unicorn, whatever
yeah,
they call them, people
yeah.
with that are in their made up group.
Poopa? I don't know.
Grand is a poopa somebody else's
I don't
thing?
I think that's somebody else.
A it's cyclops?
Not, it's, oh wait, is that it?
I don't know. A minotaur? Is he the grand minotaur?
That sounds like it could be right.
Sounds like it could be right. Anyway, or was, because he's dead in worm food now. Robert Byrd. Nobody cares.
Who eulogized him though? Anybody?
Our president.
Oh, is that who did it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the former like head Klan person.
Yeah.
So, and to say nothing of Bill Clinton, who played in a whites-only golf club in the 90s until he was busted by the New York Times in 1993. And then he realized, wait a minute, I didn't realize that there were no people of color allowed here. I just thought it just happened to be white people all around. So, I just, out of every, I mean, does nobody watch what was happening with the rioting and the burning and the businesses that were totally destroyed? Which, they were in minority communities, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be really reinforced because there were many minority businesses that were totally destroyed. You would have these like white progressive anarchists, white Marxists that would come in from Chicago, elsewhere. They had this. It's the same faction of people that go in and they hijack it. Like this is what happened in Ferguson, in Kane's hometown. Literally, he's from Ferguson, Missouri. And my aunt lived there until she sold her house. And they acted like it was, the media treated it like it was such a bad neighborhood. You had people who were engaged in peaceful protests and they just wanted to work on relations between the community and the police department. And then all of a sudden, these like grifters from nowhere came in and started issuing press releases. They didn't even at first know these the original people who were putting on the peaceful protest. The original people took to social media to complain about these out-of-state grifters that came in. And nobody paid attention to that. And then they set up that with the organization, Missouri's Organizing for Whatever, to pay people to come in from out of state to riot. And then when those people didn't get their paychecks, they launched it, trended on Twitter, hashtag cut the check, Google it. They protested outside of those offices because they wanted their paychecks. This is what I'm talking about. It's like a total, nobody paid attention to that takeover and everything that happened. Like in the past several years or last summer, the summer of rioting. And you have, I mean, if you look at Portland or Seattle on any given night, you are going to see like middle-aged Marxist hipsters who wear $200 True Religion jeans while wearing Yeezys and with their iPhones. And then they're trying to throw trash cans through the windows of an H&M, you know, because, you know, for equality or something. And then you have like the other people who are protesting that aren't even a part of BLM saying, like, can you stop destroying everything? I mean, there have been these encounters on video. So to have Garland and Mayorkas say this is one of the dumbest things I think I've ever. It's no. But I do agree that I think that melanin challenged Democrats are fine. I'll agree with you. It's a domestic security threat. And I'm just being consistent with the entirety of white supremacist history, because every bigot that I've ever known has been a Democrat. Every sexist I've ever known has been a Democrat. I mean, for crying out loud. I mean, Robert Byrd, as we just talked about, eulogized by our current president. He was a white supremacist and a Democrat. The judge who sought to deny natural rights to black Americans in the Dred Scott case, Roger Taney, he was a big old white supremacist and a big old Democrat. I will say this, though. I think that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party can be very stupid parties, because every party can be. And it's particularly nauseating right now to watch, as all of this is happening, the Republican Party squander any kind of opportunities on messaging during the worst 100 days of any administration in the modern era. It is awful. You have rockets raining down on Israel because of the Iran-financed terror group Hamas that we also fund, because that was one of the things that Joe Biden turned the spigot back on that was shut down during the Trump administration, because Hamas doesn't think that Israel has the right to exist. You had the Colonial Pipeline flatlined because Russia was acting through a proxy cybercrime outfit. Inflation has jumped by over 4%, and that's the second largest spike since World War II. And Democrats are crying about identity politics and how white people are super dangerous, while Republicans are engaging in the political equivalent of an all-out Ozark slap fight on grandma's front lawn while all the neighbors across the hall are watch. That's what's happening right now. I mentioned this today, or actually yesterday. Axios had tweeted, GOP Rep. Liz Cheney, quote, "Today we face a threat America has never seen before, former president, blah, 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 blah." And I had tweeted, considering the news of Hamas attacking Israel, the Colonial Pipeline, jobs numbers, this seems like a weird focus. But the media is doing all it can to avoid talking about all of these multiple crises engulfing the administration. Especially at the border. Remember, the border is not a crisis. No, what? I mean, again, you have Israel and Hamas on the brink of full-scale war. So the media is focusing on Liz Cheney so they don't have to talk about the failures of the first 100 days. And Liz Cheney is all too eager to help. I say this not as someone who has anything personal against her. This is just fact-based observation. I don't like to see people make mistakes that can be avoided. And if it's on purpose, oh my gosh. No, instead of unifying on strong messaging, condemning Hamas and just trolling Russia over the ransomware attack that we know they're behind, but we can't say that we know they're behind just yet. No, Republicans are arguing who gets to sit on the House Republican conference throne. So let me ask you all this. How many of you out there, without DuckDuckGoing, right? That works? DuckDuckGoing? Or Googling, can tell me what the GOP conference does? How many of you actually even care? That's right, because no one cares. No one cares. No one cares. I care more about how doorknobs are made than I do about how the GOP conference works. Because the conference chair, they control the messaging and they have their meetings and blah, 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 all this other stuff. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We're trying to feed kids and keep roofs over our houses and everything else. Nobody cares. The price of groceries is going higher than Hunter Biden right now. And the GOP is arguing over homecoming court. It's an indulgent and tone-deaf exercise of stupidity to do this. Now, I expect Democrats to do stupid things, because this is the party who allowed a bartending congresswoman who doesn't know how combustion engines work to literally write legislation that verbatim, and I'm not making this up, I'm not exaggerating, bans cow flatulence. Looking at the PDF that I saved. This is the party that cares so much about the environment. They believe that outsourcing the process of mining for cobalt to little kids in the Democratic Republic of Congo and the mining of other rare earth elements to the forced labor camps in Xinjiang, countries with zero environmental or worker protections, that means that they're taking care of the environment. What I do not expect is for the GOP to reduce themselves to equal levels of stupidity over who controls their messaging, because nothing demonstrates concern over messaging like a giant public fight about messaging. Am I right? I mean, like I said, I don't dislike Cheney. We follow each other on Twitter. I follow, full disclosure, several politicians, which is nothing more than just indicative of me wanting to keep an eye on what they do. But this, her strategy here and some of these other Republican strategies is just totally tone deaf. I mean, if her strategy is to wait Trump out, like I've said, she doesn't understand the battlefield because he's a symptom of the voters. He is the voters' ire and disgust manifest into one person who goes after Democrats and media and, you know, et cetera. I mean, you can get mad all you want to over his locker room talk and then go ahead and compare locker room talk to playing cigar games in the Oval Office or abandoning a woman to die in a pond or screwing your secretary in China during a diplomatic trip over Christmas while your wife contemplates killing herself by driving headfirst into a tree. I mean, I reject the idea that somehow secrecy sanctifies sin and magically makes them virtues, even though that's how society treats the sins of Bill Clinton and Teddy Kennedy and George H.W. Bush and dare I even say George W. Bush. Get obsessively mad and distracted over his tweets or his remarks about other lawmakers while Democrats break down vital protections in the FISA court and continue spying on private citizens. One of my goals in life, and I'm not even exaggerating, is to yell, "But at least there are no more mean tweets, am I right?" to somebody who is madder over mean tweets than domestic surveillance as they're dragged off to jail because the government caught them smoking pot through their laptop camera while they Minecrafted. Trump has no power by himself. He didn't. It came from voters. He scared the hell out of the stuffed shirt country club GOP sect, and he became the avatar for a diversified coalition, which is the proper way, by the way, to describe building a bigger tent of people. You know, black, white, Asian, gay, straight, goth, prep, punk, Christian, atheist, who just want to be left alone. Like, to quote The Godfather, sort of, leave the guns, take the government regulations. So for Republicans to continue winning seats, this coalition has to stay intact. It's almost like some people in the GOP don't want this to happen. And I just attribute this to the moves that I've seen many of them make over the past couple of weeks. These are moves made by people who want to destroy a coalition and drive off voters. Cheney is not going to outlast Trump's influence because it's not Trump's influence. It's voters' influence. If it wasn't for Trump, there would be somebody else like him. So people need to choose wisely and make wiser decisions. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so apparently I was looking at this. The CDC is now going to, after they were shamed publicly, they're going to ease up on guidance about indoor mask wearing. I swear we're all going to jump off my roof. That's what's going to happen. Like, America is at its limit, okay? America is about to pull the car over and deal with you in the back seat. America is about to take off the flip-flop and come at you with it. Just saying. So this is from the Associated Press. They said the CDC is going to ease indoor mask wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people. Oh, for the love. I can't even finish reading it. It's so ridiculous. Crypto market tanks after Tesla suspends Bitcoin payments. There's a lot of, I have no idea why you would. I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend. I don't even know. And I really don't care. Do you care?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. I mean, he was just apparently aware of Bitcoin mining being bad for the environment. So I'm guessing he's just had an epiphany.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he can do what he wants. It's, yeah, right? It's, oh, unless people are going to start telling him to make the cake. I'm just curious, right? Isn't that how it goes? Private businesses and all. He published a note on Twitter and he said that he's still personally a believer in Bitcoin. He said he's concerned about the role of fossil fuels in Bitcoin mining. It's a common criticism made by environmentalists against Bitcoin. They said cryptocurrency is a great idea on many levels. This is what he tweeted. He goes, it has a promising future, but it can't come as a great cost to the environment. So they said that they're not going to sell any Bitcoin, and we intend to use it for transactions as soon as mining transitions to a more sustainable energy. So there you go. I don't know what's happening in Australia. You guys have big, terrifying, super poisonous spiders. You have kangaroos are mean, apparently. Did you know that? Do you know koalas were mean too? Yeah. In Australia, the cute animals are mean and the not cute animals are terrifying. So there are dead and live mice raining from the sky. Yeah, so it's a horrifying, I couldn't even watch like 5 seconds of it. It's a horrible video. But it was after a silo was being cleaned out on farmland and there was a huge pump in the air, and it shows, I mean, it's just raining mice falling along with the grains, and some of them run off, and then the ones who don't, well, you know why, because they can't. So, oh, that's diversity, civil rights. It's the civil rights division within the DOJ. In fact, they're one of the Biden officials, she's also a civil rights educator, is under investigation for making a Nazi analogy in a policing discussion. Can we stop trying to reduce the horror of the Holocaust by saying everything is like Nazis? Is it just possible? Dr. Kara Hunt, Director of Education and Outreach for Maryland Commission of Civil Rights. Yeah, she's the one who's now being investigated. I don't watch American Idol, but apparently one of the guys that was going to be on, he's a 16-year-old. And this is from a couple of different places. His name is Caleb Kennedy is his name. He was a finalist on American Idol, which I totally don't watch. The only time I will ever watch karaoke is if someone is off tune and they are inebriated. And it said that, so this guy, his name's Caleb Kennedy, he's 16 years old. And apparently he, at one point, like I guess a couple of years ago, he had watched the movie called The Strangers Pray at Night. And one of them, I can't even believe we're talking about this. Go look, do yourself a favor if you're not driving in your car. Google Strangers the Prey at Night and look at like the scary, the antagonists in that movie. So he dressed up as one of those characters for Halloween. Now, the characters include like two chicks in a clown mask and then a guy who looks like Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's like he's got a flour sack over his head. Oh, you guessed it. Apparently, I mean, he dresses in regular clothes. He doesn't have like a robe or cape or whatever, but he just wears a sack over his head. And the other two were wearing these creepy like white plastic clown face things. And so he dressed up as that character for Halloween a couple of years ago. And apparently that got out and they said he was dressing up as a Klans member. And so he's off American Idol.
What?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And they were even apparently talking about how it was part of the movie, like in the video. And that's because I don't think that anybody would willingly, well, I don't know, maybe there's some people stupid enough to, I don't think anybody would willingly do that and display that like that and then make a video of themselves, right?
Especially these days.
Yeah. So he's what, 16 years old, and apparently this happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, the movie came out in 2018.
He was 16 when it happened, and he's 20 years old now. He's 20 years old now. He was 16 when it happened, and so he dressed up as that character. So I mean, I don't know. I guess out of context, you would think, oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks like his costume has a little point to the top of it. But the guy.
Sorry,
the
it's not movie quality.
I know. It's like, please. But the movie itself, the guy just has, the sack does not have any sort of pointy on top of the head that the guy's wearing.
And it's also, I can't believe this is where we are in life.
But this is, right, this is it. This is what we're doing.
Because, you know, teenagers make great decisions all the time. So if we held everyone to the same level, everyone is a teenager, who you were as a teenager is who you will always ever only be, What a horrible world that we lived in.
Thank God that didn't happen to me.
I'd still be a Democrat. Look at that.
Right.
Can you imagine? Ooh. Ooh. Crazy. Just saying. But there's no, and he like explained what he was doing. And even his friends apparently explained what he was doing. And he's like, I would have never have done that. But it doesn't, you know. And the apparently like the friends and the parents and everyone else was like, they were literally imitating the strangers pray at night, because apparently there were other stuff of other masks and all of this. But I don't know. It's just kids. This is the one thing that you need to remember. Your parents shouldn't let you be on social media as much as you are. In fact, at all. My kids are not allowed. And then the only reason I let my oldest child get on one social media is I made him be friends with me. It was on Snapchat. And I was like, no. Not only do you have to be friends with me, but I'm going to make your friends be friends with me too. And I don't believe any of you when you post wholesome things that you pretend to be doing. Talking about scripture while eating at Waffle House. No, you're not. That was a meme from like 4 years ago. I'm on to you. Come on. I was on Reddit before you people were born.
I mean, that's the critical age where you push the envelope, right? You push the envelope just to see, you know, your part in the world. What does that mean? And then where are my mistakes and where can I improve? We're eliminating all of that now because we're going after teenagers for what stupid things they do.
How many times does this have to happen? Really? So then you also had, so Michael Shea, who is one of the anchors for the SNL news segment that they do. He came back because remember how I said at this on Monday, cancel culture mob, the rage mob was mad at Gen Z Hospital, the skit that was on SNL where they said things like bestie and sus. By the way, NBC removed the entire video because whoever did that doesn't understand fair use and you're a fascist and it was absolute fair use and I should sue you for your soul. But sidebar, I am like the most litigious person you will ever meet in your ever loving life. I can't even tell you how many times I've dragged people to court and won. That being said, that's not a thing to, it's not a virtue, kids. Aim higher. But he said that he was, you know how the AAVE, the African American Vernacular English. Michael Shea posted on, I can't even say everything he said. He posted on Instagram. He was saying, what in the hell is this? He's like, I'm black and I've never even heard of AAVE. And he said, he meant no offense. And he hit back, I thought, pretty hard. And he goes, I love AAVE, AAVE to the moon. But it's, I don't know, man, that's just crazy. So he even spoke up over this because it's gotten that far. It's gotten just really, really far.
Do you want the CIA choosing their personnel based on intersectionality or based on competence? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the Russians and Chinese must be thrilled at how identity politics are becoming more important than protecting our nation. I'll also be joined by Tiffany Smiley, the amazing wife of a wounded warrior who changed the military and the VA and is now running for the U.S. Senate in Washington State. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have the most, it's almost too long to go into, and I may go into it in depth tomorrow. My friend Charles Cook over at National Review, I'm going to send this in the newsletter because you guys have to read this before we talk about it. It is I felt like I was reading, a profile of Glenn Close from that movie in Fatal Attraction. And it has to do with the chick who got in trouble because Rebecca Jones, she tried to act like she was this coronavirus whistleblower in Florida. Chick literally had, like, some dude got a restraining order against her. Dudes don't get restraining orders against chicks unless those chicks are crazy. I mean, you have to be a certain level of crazy. The stuff this girl did, there's a reason why not even Florida Democrats came out in defense of her. This is one of the craziest things I've ever read. And we've got to go. I don't want to use my whole Florida segment, although she's a Florida woman. I mean, she actually like tried to take over the dashboard and she lied that controlled how the data was distributed. And she lied and blamed a black doctor for telling her to manipulate raw data when she didn't even have the ability to adjust raw data. She just simply got a printed readout of it. And she created a mirror dashboard to fabricate the way that the numbers looked so that it would look like something was being manipulated. And she kept going to the press, and her superiors were like, can you stop being crazy? And they kept telling her, stop it, over and over again. And it wasn't until she accused one of their doctor, one of their top docs, of ordering her to manipulate data. And she was just telling this stuff crazily to the press that she was fired. There's a reason why you haven't seen Charles Notes any deep dives about Florida's real numbers, because nobody misrepresented anything. What Governor DeSantis said is that's what was happening. This story, it's a long story because that's how many crazy things this chick has done. Like, I didn't even get to where she was like the guy who took out the restraining order against her. She went after his mom. Like, I didn't even get into that. Like, that's the level of crazy that we're dealing with. I could have told him immediately, she looks crazy. She's got crazy eyes, dude. Don't buy her a drink. Don't talk to her. Stay away from her. We're a really good judge of character of crazy broads here at the Dana Show. It's a skill that we offer to America. All right. So, gosh, this story. I want you to read it, and then we're going to talk about it in depth tomorrow, because if you like tea being spilled, this is your day. It's amazing. All right. It's time for Florida Man. I could go on about this forever.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of the stuff that you get me, that you send to me, by the way, came. A Florida man crashes a stolen police car and then decides to steal another one and continue the pursuit. So Xavier Cummings, 33, he's in jail now, no bond. He was arrested on suspicion of burglary, eluding law enforcement, possession of a firearm by a felon because he's a prohibited possessor, firearm theft, and also another felony, motor vehicle theft, driving with a suspended license, all according to inmate records. Doesn't seem like he has a lawyer. The chase started when Cocoa, Florida police were called to a disturbance at a hotel. And then as they got out, like somebody got in and took their car. And the Volusia County Sheriff's Office said that they joined the chase. One of the cruisers pushed the sedan off Interstate 95. It became stuck in the woods. But then the suspect got out and found apparently another empty car because they were all like there by the road, ran into it and sped off. And so they deployed stop sticks. Finally they stopped him. He was captured. He was very, very determined. Also, I mean, I know maybe they got to make quick getaways, but is there some kind of like auto locking system so this doesn't happen? I don't know.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.